So, Mark, tell me a little bit about what Jagpanzer is up to right now, and you have these new reissues out, and give us some insight of what's currently going on with the band.
We're working on set lists for Kit next year, and I think we're doing a few more shows in Europe after Kit. Joey's actually coordinating the gigs with Rickard and John, so I'm not sure what they have going on. I told them I'm up for anything, but I think it's definitely a couple dates in Greece, and I think there's a couple more dates around Europe too. Not for certain, though. I should probably have found that out before I did this interview.
Now, if everything goes well with the tour and stuff like that, and, you know, I know you had a little bit of a breakup before these reissues, do you plan on maybe putting out another record somewhere down the line, or maybe, you know, playing a few more shows here and there?
Yeah, I think, you know, if things go well and opportunities present themselves, you know, a lot of people misunderstood the breakup. There wasn't really issues between any band members or anything. There just was nothing for us to do. We couldn't get a tour. We got a lot of offers, and all of them were money losers. You know, they sounded like great tours, but by the time, you know, you get out the calculator and figure in flights, and, you know, that's even taking no road crew and limited equipment, and, you know, just trying to do it as cheap as possible, they were, you know, the best deal we had, it was like $6,000 money loser. You know, we just could find no touring opportunities, and all of the major festivals passed on having us play, so there's really just nothing we could do, and that was the reason behind the breakup.
You know, I'm actually surprised that you say that, because, you know, with a band like yourselves, I mean, you guys have put out a lot of great records, you have a great history, and, you know, the festivals always have bands like you guys on, so it actually surprises me that a band like Jagpanzer would just kind of be overlooked when you've played so many shows in Europe and have done a lot. It just, I don't know. I just find that really shocking, actually.
Oh, it surprised me, too. I always, you know, I grew up, you know, thinking these big festivals were all about, you know, putting on a great metal show, and, you know, they are, but you have to be, they want, you know, we kept getting told, well, we want younger bands. We want younger, newer, more, you know, trendy, of course they've never used the word trendy, but, you know, more popular today bands. And, you know, we just kept hearing that all over the place, and it was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you know, we'll do Kit. You know, we would never hear that from them, but, you know, all the other big festivals, that's what we kept hearing, and it was really disappointing.
Well,
I figure if you have 110 bands on the bill, I mean, come on, there's not a slot for Jagpanzer.
Well, Keep It True is more like the thing where they cater more to the cult bands than anything. And, you know, it's a great festival. You know, there are so many bands that, you know, maybe didn't have, you know, mainstream following. They had a couple albums that came out. And they always have bands that you never hear of play them. And, you know, I remember I went one year, and I'll tell you what, it was not only a great festival, but there were bands I had never heard of that I saw play. And then in the end, after I saw how great these guys were, I went out and started buying CDs from some of these bands.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing. Yeah, Keep It True is awesome. I love playing that.
So let's get to the topic of the four reissues. You have Shadow Thief, which is one of the reissues. You have the Tyrants EP. You also have Chain of Command, which was actually an album that originally had never come out. And then you had Ample Destruction. So you have four reissues out. You know, some of them have demos on them. Some of them have bonus tracks. Some of them have been released before. But the sound quality on these reissues, as far as High Roller goes, is just amazing in comparison. And, Mark, let's talk about the first reissue, Chain of Command, because I have the original reissue that came out on Century Media, and I have the High Roller reissue, which has one track that you don't see on the Century Media reissue. But the one thing I noticed is that Chain of Command, not only did I really love the singer on this album, but the sound quality in the High Roller reissue is a little bit better. And, you know, did you get it from maybe a different master tape? And, you know, give me your thoughts on the making of Chain of Command.
That was, I like the singer too. That's Bob Pardubi. He's a cool guy, and he's got a great voice. And actually, I've been doing a little recording with him just for fun, so I don't know. Hopefully something will come out of that soon. But anyway, yeah, Chain of Command was pretty much the newer lineup. You know, we had a new drummer at the time. Well, you know, he's been with us now for over 25 years, but he was new at the time. New guitar player, new vocalist Bob, and you know, we had written a lot of songs, and you know, we thought we'd go in the studio and record it. We made the mistake though of going in the studio and doing the whole album before we had a deal, and we got a lot of offers for deals, but you know, a lot of the offers were from labels that didn't want to pay the studio bill, which was unfortunate. So the album never came out. We were going to work with Bill Peters. Bill Auburn was tied to Island, and we had an attorney look at it, and you know, they liked the Auburn side of it and did not like the Island side of it. So they said, I wouldn't sign this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unfortunate. You know, I really wanted to work with Bill because I've always liked Bill. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So, the album just never came out. There was a different mindset back then. Once a year had passed, no one was interested in it anymore. You know, there was some hot interest right away. A few different labels wanted it. Nobody wanted to pay the studio bill. So we couldn't release it. We had to get the studio bill paid. So, you know, we were just sort of in limbo with the record. So it wasn't until Censure Media, you know, wanted to come out with it years later that it finally came out. Censure Media released a DAT version that we had made a few years later, which, you know, it sounded okay, but for this reissue, we went back to the original analog masters for all those recordings, so I think there's a big jump in sound quality. It was fun doing Chain of Command. You know, we had a fun time. We had an old RV that we parked outside the studio, and we were just lived up there for, I think, about a week and a half, about 10 days, and just recorded full-time. I was in charge of getting food for everybody, and I pretended like I couldn't find anything but pizza, so we had pizza every night, which was okay for me. I think the other guys got a little sick of it, but I had a good time. Yeah, that was fun sessions doing Chain of Command.
Well, now let's talk about Ample Destruction, and that is an album that people have screamed that be reissued in the proper manner, and I know Metal Blade had a version out years and years ago that, you know, it was an Ample Destruction, I think, / Tyrants reissue. But let's talk about this, because, you know, the one thing is you have a lot of bootlegs of this album out. You have, you know, some of these bootlegs have awful sound quality on them. But this is an album that, you know, anytime I would interview a band and, you know, the name Jagdpanzer would come up, It was kind of like, you know, people would always bring that album up. Even though I liked some of your subsequent albums better, you know, Ample Destruction as a debut was just highly touted by so many metalheads out there. So, you know, let's talk about this album, you know, because this is something that is huge for you. And talk about the Ample Destruction reissue and the differences between some of the previous versions as well.
Well, the making of it was pretty cool. It was recorded here in Colorado Springs, as opposed to Chain of Command, which was in Denver. Ample was here in Colorado Springs. It was in a small basement studio called Start Song, and we actually recorded it in the winter, and the only heat they had in the studio was a wood-burning stove, and we had some really goofy rule that if you were going to record that day, you had to go get the firewood. So, you know, poor Joey Tafoya, because he's a California boy, so he had just moved here from California, and so it was freezing to him. I don't think he'd ever even seen snow before. So he's out there gathering firewood and slipping in the snow and having to do all this before he could do lead tracks.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's saying, come on, you guys, can you guys get the firewood? Nope, everybody gets their own firewood. So, you know, it was, every session was like that. You know, you'd go in, you'd get firewood, get the fire started, get your hands warm, and then you'd play.
Yeah.
We had it was great recording it because everybody came to every session, you know, and recording sessions usually aren't like that. You know, usually you don't see the singer until it's time for lead vocals. You don't see the drummer except for drum tracks. But on Ample, everybody was there for every session, and we just had a lot of fun. We were, engineer Tom was great. We would bring in pizzas and beers, and we just have a good time in the studio every night. And that's another record where we did straight. I think we only spent a week on Ample, but we did it 7 straight days. We didn't really have time to mix it that well. So when Metal Blade did the reissue, they paid for some additional mix time, so that was good. But then with the High Roller release, they paid for a remaster of the original analog master from the Metal Blade. So that is, you know, in my opinion, definitely the best sound quality of Ample that we're going to get.
Well, and I agree. The sound quality is pretty good, and I've only heard one song off of it. I actually don't have, at this moment in time, I don't have the actual reissue. But, you know, I have to tell you that with Ample Destruction, to me, if you talk to many of the bands that I have that come on the show, you know, it's not their favorite album. You know, a lot of people, and for me, it's not my favorite Jag Panzer album, because I still think Casting the Stones is my favorite record that you guys had ever put out. But it is a great record. It's a great debut. It came out at a great time, in the early 80s, and it was just a solid debut. I mean, a lot of bands had awful debuts, and then, you know, they didn't really get good till the second or third album. But, you know, I really thought this record was what was very, very good, especially for a debut record, and at least in my opinion, it was.
You know, the funny thing about that release is when that came out originally, it was a U.S.-only release. And I sent copies of it to every European label I can think of, like Neat Records, Music for Nations, and all of them turned it down. So I went back to them a few months later, and I said, well, I'll give you the record for free. And they got back with me, not interested.
Wow.
I think what happened with Ample is it came out the same month as Ride the Lightning. Just got crushed by Ride the Lightning. Ride the Lightning, you know, publicity was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Ride the Lightning was on top of every single listener charts. So I don't know what happened with those labels, but yet none of the European labels are interested in it.
Now let's talk about the Tyrant CP, because here's the thing. What I think is really awesome, in my opinion, is that, you know, all these reissues have extra stuff on them, and many people have emailed me asking me what are the extra tracks on the Tyrant CP, and, you know, let's talk about that. So you have some extra songs, you have the original 4 songs from the EP, and you have a bunch of extra stuff, and talk about the making of Tyrants.
Well, Tyrant's reissue is the one that gives you the most material that no one's ever heard. We had a lot of songs back then. You know, we started recording when we were kids. I was 16 when we started making demos. Drummer Rick was 15, and Harry and John were 17. And we would all chip in from our jobs. You know, I was washing dishes, and John was cooking at Denny's. Everybody would chip in from their jobs to do demos. So we were doing a demo every month, you know, usually a song every month. And you know, a lot of it was a few different styles. You know, Rick was more into kind of like hard rock instead of metal, so we did a few tunes that were a little more hard rock. A couple songs that sounded like a weak Def Leppard attempt. You know, we were really looking for our own sound, so we did a lot of different demos, and those actually never have ever came out until this Tyrants reissue. I mean, even people that had thought they had everything from Jag Panzer saw that song list, and I had a couple of people write me saying, what's this? I've never heard of any of these songs. So for the Tyrants reissue, you know, we really, really went back to the vault and got everything we ever recorded on there.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. And we got the original master tapes, you know, the best quality we could find for all those songs. And High Roller did the remaster, and so that, you know, is a real, real trip back through our early history, so hearing some of those songs. You know, a lot of them are pretty bad. But, you know, it was, you know, our early baby steps in recording.
Now, talk about Shadow Thief. It has some demos and some other songs on there. And tell everybody what's on the Shadow Thief reissue.
That was a collection of demos we did after Ample Destruction. That was, you know, for example, Inagata De Vida, our cover of that, the original version of the song Shadow Thief. it was four different recording sessions done starting a year after Ample, and then spread out for the next year and a half. You know, we would go in the studio. Back then, we had a few major labels would come out and see us, and some of them would ask for additional material. So we'd go in and record some additional songs. That's been bootlegged before, but it was bootlegged from probably 10th generation cassette copies. The bootleg sounded awful. And even I didn't have anything but a beat up cassette copies. But, you know, we still had the old reel to reel masters sitting in the closet. So we pulled those out. There's one studio in Colorado that will do transfers for those from those old reels. So we had them all transferred over, just pristine quality. And then that's what High Roller came out with.
Mark, it's like you would always see people wanting these albums reissued and all of this stuff to finally see the light of day as far as a reissue goes, and even some of the demo tracks. And even in past interviews, it was always brought up, and you always talked about wanting to do it. And now it's actually happening. I mean, these reissues have come out. And for you, is this a huge weight lifted off of your shoulders? And, you know, just how happy are you about the results of these things?
Yeah, to answer the first part of it, it was actually a huge weight off my shoulders to get these released, because people would always ask about them, or people would buy the bootleg, and you know, I didn't know what to tell them. The bootleg sounded awful, but people wanted the material, and there was really no alternative. And people would ask me, you know, can I get a CDR from you? And all I had was cassette copies of this stuff, so it was great to finally get all this stuff released. As far as finding a label, you know, we actually had a lot of label interest, but most of it was, you know, just labels that weren't really going to give a lot of attention. They were just going to, you know, take the Metal Blade version of Ample, the songs, you know, slap the original cover, and that's it. You know, it was just going to be a quickie reissue, get it out, done.
Mm-hmm.
High Roller was the one, the first started talking to them, is they talked about making it sound as good as possible. They talked about getting the best copies of the original artwork. They talked about getting all original photographs. I mean, they were really concerned about making this a quality release, and that really impressed us.
Yeah, you know, the quality upgrade of Chain of Command, Mark, to me, is just a huge upgrade over the previous reissue. In fact, that was the release that stood out the most as far as an increase quality-wise, you know, with the finished product.
Yeah, me too. It's I really think that they made this all these releases the best sounding they could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Century Media also reissued The Fourth Judgment. I didn't even know about it until I was just, you know, on Amazon.com, and I saw it pop up, and, you know, my old Fourth Judgment CD had seen too much action and was pretty much worn out, so I bought it. And you have a couple bonus tracks on this as well.
Yeah, I actually, I didn't even know they were going to reissue it. Well, they had mentioned it to me, so I sent them some bonus tracks, and then I never really heard anything until it came out. So that was a pleasant surprise, because I thought they did a good job on the reissue. And that was, it was going out of print, so it was nice to have that reissued.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to get them to reissue Casting the Stones, because now that's become the one that everybody's writing me saying, well, I can't get that anymore.
Well, you know, and that's really sad, because if I recall, that is the record that ended up getting bad reviews at first, and it always baffled me. I could never figure out why a lot of writers and people just weren't a fan of that album initially, because for me personally, you know, anytime there's every band that we all like, there's always that one record that really stands out to you. When you think of them, it's the first album you think of. You know, some people with Iron Maiden, it's like Number of the Beast, and, you know, some people think that with, you know, other, like Blind Guardian, it's Nightfall and Middle Earth. But for me, with Jagdpanzer, I think for me, the record that resonates the most with me and the first one I think of has always been Casting the Stones. And I always wondered why people initially gave it bad reviews. But also, it's one of those records that now people love it years later when they initially really didn't love it when it came out.
Yeah, I love Casting also. Yeah, and I noticed the same thing. A lot of people, you know, didn't initially like it, and then now I have people writing me, you know, The Mission or, you know, something something like that. They're really into it.
That whole record is freaking awesome.
But, you know, I've heard that for a lot of our albums throughout our career, where, you know, they don't really catch on initially, and then a few years later, people like it.
Well, for me, when I think of that record, you know, every band that you listen to that you're a fan of, you know, there's always that one record that kind of comes out, and you're like, you know, when you think of them, you think of putting that one in first. And you know, every time I think of you guys, that's the one I think of, man, I'm going to go listen to that. You know, I always think of that first. That's, you know, you always have the first album that comes to mind. Like some people with Iron Maiden, it would maybe be like Number of the Beast, or you kind of get where I'm going with that. And
yep, exactly.
You know, that's the impact it had on me when it came out. I mean, to me, it was like the defining release for you guys, because it was just that good, in my opinion. And you know, I did have some people write me, because I did talk to a few people that. That knew I was going to be talking to you, and you know, a couple people wanted to know, and I guess I tried to explain it to them, but you know, just so we can, I guess, state it for the record. Now, you did release some re-recorded songs of some of the early stuff on Decade of the Nailed Spiked Bat, so that's more re-recordings as opposed to the original stuff, then.
Right.
Okay. Just want to make sure. So. Anyway, so as far as what you guys have going on now, you haven't really, you know, stated that you're going to keep going on or writing a new album, but do you have any material that, you know, if you guys say, hey, let's do it, you know, do you have anything kind of in the tank or anything?
Yeah, I actually have several songs that I think are very good.
Awesome.
In the tank. I don't really want to say a whole lot, and Harry and I have also, we've mapped out a concept story.
I thought Taint of the Throne, too, was a really good record when it had come out. In fact, it was a very difficult one to get into. A lot of people had difficulty following it, but then, you know, a few years later, I put it in one day, or I popped it up in the playlist and started listening and started following along to the story, and before you know it, it became kind of a cult favorite of mine. In a sense.
Yeah, it's a complex record. I think you need to listen to it from beginning to end, and you have to follow the storyline. It's actually probably my favorite Jag Panzer record, but you know, even I have to listen to it like that.
Yeah.
Beginning to end, follow with the lyrics.
Now, I know that you are going to be playing some shows here and there, and you know, I'm sure you are going to have plenty of songs in the set list from Ample Destruction and Tyrants, but you know, have you thought about what your set list is going to be? And you know, I was thinking too, some of these songs that really never made it to an actual album, but you have demos of, have you ever thought about possibly, you know, maybe playing one or two of those and kind of surprising people and throwing a couple of these demo tracks in a set?
I'm not sure. I know we're playing everything off of Ample Destruction. We've never done that before, so we're going to do the entire Ample Destruction. And I actually don't know what else we're playing. We tend to divide the tasks up, and I don't have anything to do with the set list.
Oh, okay.
Never have, really. Never have ever gave my input on set lists, and everybody else throughout the history of Jag Panzer has always told me, here's what we're playing, Mark. And then I said, okay, and then I just make sure I know them. So I actually don't know what we're doing, other than Joey told me we're doing all of Ample.
Now, I do know for the collectors out there, Mark, that that High Roller put out a box set, a vinyl box set of these four reissues, and it looks freaking amazing. And talk about this, and where can people get it at, you know?
Come on, the box set's amazing. I was floored when I saw it. And I'm not saying amazing because I'm trying to drum up business to sell it, because I think it's doing quite well sales-wise anyway, but it's just, it's phenomenal. It's vinyl picture discs of all the releases and an 80-page hardbound book, you know, just full of pictures that, you know, 90% of them nobody's ever seen but us. Yeah, it's got cool pictures, it's got photos of the releases, it's got lots of candid shots, live shots, and it also comes with another 16-page booklet that's got all of our original show posters in there. Our bass player, John, had kept copies of posters we did for all these gigs. You know, back then we would we'd get rub-on letters from the craft store and do our posters like that, and they're pretty cheesy, hokey looking posters, but they're total 80s looking metal posters. So you get a booklet of 16 of those in the box set also. And it comes in this really heavy duty, like leather type chrome embossed box. I mean, the whole thing is, it's massive, heavy, cool box set.
Now it's limited, and you know, where can you order that at? I mean, do you order it on High Roller's website?
Yeah, I think High Roller is the only place to get it, because I know some friends here in the, you know, friends here in the States wanted to get it, and they looked around to get it here in the States, and I know they all ended up just getting it from High Roller.
Well, I can tell you, Mark, that I just ordered it, and you know, while I was on the phone with you, and you know what? Looking at it, I mean, this thing looks amazing. I mean, it looks like they really did a lot with this, with these vinyl reissues, and this box set looks really cool.
Yeah, and they were great to work with too. Just, yeah, every time I talked to them, it was always concerned about quality and, you know, do we have the best version of this song, and you know, it's just the highest resolution of these photos, and it was great. You know, that was, and they were always in contact with me every step of the way, and they're just a pleasure to work with.
Well, I guess that's the Germans for you, man. I mean, they have a love for heavy metal, and Germans have always prided themselves on the quality of products that they produce, and I'll tell you what, they just hit the nail on the head with this box set.
Oh, they even went above and beyond what they told us they were going to do. You know, where they told us everything they're going to do, and we're like, great, this is going to be really cool. And then they sent me some copies of the vinyl, and there's like a big poster in each of the vinyl releases. I had no idea they were going to do that.
Well, Mark, I do have a couple questions for you. You know, I guess this next one, you know, do you have any last words or anything to say to the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my show tonight?
Yeah, let me think what I can say beside the usual. We appreciate the support, because, yeah, we really do appreciate the support. These reissues wouldn't have even been possible if there wasn't a demand for it, so that's really cool. Yeah, I can't stress these reissues enough, because this is the finest in sound quality and presentation that you're ever going to find for all four of those albums. And, you know, I hate saying those things to try to sound like, you know, go buy it, but I'm just saying, you know, if you want the best Ample Destruction that you're ever going to get, this is it.
Yeah, you see people with selling those Ample Destruction bootlegs, and, you know, thank God for the reissues, Mark.
Oh, I paid $50 for one of our bootlegs, because no one would sell it to me. Every time we were in Europe, and it was a metal flea market, and every time I try to go up the table to buy it, they'd pull it off the table and hide it.
Yeah.
You know, so I finally had to buy it through, like, three different people, and it ended up costing me $50 for a bootleg, and it sounds terrible.